Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our living and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Thanksgiving I remember the best in my life was one when I was overseas in Africa, Togo to be specific. And I was traveling from one city to another. It was about a four-hour travel along this road that was so riddled with potholes that we could never go more than 10 or 15 miles per hour. And it suddenly occurred to me, hey, it's Thanksgiving Day. And I started missing the turkey and the corn and the cranberries and everything else. In fact, I was kind of hungry at the time. As we were driving along, we stopped at a roadblock. You know, they were checking the cars, the police were. And the pastor Cussie, was with me, rolled down the window, and there was vendors kind of standing right there trying to sell us food. So he bought a bunch of things and started passing them back to me. I asked him one at a time, well, what's this? Well, that's wild turkey. I said, well, what's this? Well, that's a ball of corn mashed up together. And then the next thing he passed me back, he said, well, that's mashed yam. It's not quite the same as potatoes, but it's pretty close. And I thought, what a wonderful thing that the very food I was missing, the Lord provided. I didn't even, without me even realizing it. Of course, the purpose of Thanksgiving isn't turkey and mashed potatoes, as much as we might like that part the best. The purpose of Thanksgiving is to take a time to especially, we want to do this every Sunday, but especially today, think about and remember the Lord who has blessed us and all the wonderful blessings that He has given to us. When we go to pray to the Lord because of our sinfulness, we often don't know what to pray for. The disciples kind of had that problem. They're like, well, Lord, teach us how to pray. We don't know. We can't really think of anything to pray for. And the Lord gave them the Lord's Prayer. Not necessarily, there's nothing wrong with simply reciting the Lord's Prayer, but that's not necessarily its use, but rather as a template, a reminder of the things that we should remember to pray for. And there are other prayers we can use. It's a good idea to do that when you pray. If you can't think of anything, well, open your hymnal or your catechism or something else to a prayer someone else has written and look through it to remind you of things to pray for. And that's a good idea on Thanksgiving as well. We know that we have many things to be thankful for, but when we stop and try and think of them, maybe they don't readily come to our mind. And we have such a template, really a wonderful example, of someone who wrote a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord in Psalm 136. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look through this psalm, and we're going to look for reminders of things that the Lord has done for us, reminding us of things that we can be thankful for. And that's why you have pens. Part of it is to test and see how many of you will return them at the end of service. But more importantly, so you can write down, and there's plenty of room in your bulletin as we go through these verses, you can write down things that you might think of to be thankful for. It's easy to think in your mind, yeah, I know things to be thankful for, but writing it down really forces us to put it into words and really think about what it is we're thanking the Lord for. We begin with verses 1 to 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. The repeating refrain throughout the psalm is the one you just heard, for His mercy endures forever. And indeed, His mercy does endure forever, and that should be obvious to us as soon as we read this psalm. This psalm was written 3,000 years ago, and yet the church remains, despite all the attacks, despite all the so-called wisdom of men, despite all the bloodshed, despite how much everything else has changed, the word of the Lord remains. The church of God remains. Despite our own sinfulness that continually fights against that word and against God, the word of the Lord and the church remains. And that is a testament to his goodness and his mercy. So we'll take a minute here and you can write down on that first page any examples of the Lord's mercy in your own life throughout the last year. Verses 4 and 9. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him whom by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. Certainly we want to give thanks to the Lord for the earth, for the seasons, for the sun and the stars, for the beauty with which he made us and this world, and for the food that he provides for us through these natural means. Truly, as the psalmist says, he alone is the only one who does great wonders. This morning I saw out to the southwest something shooting off. I'm not sure if it was a rocket or what, but it had a trail of fire following after it. Perhaps maybe a rocket going up. But all the advanced technologies of man, even a spaceship, you know, can't compare to the wonders that God can do. The skill of the world's top neurosurgeon, the beauty of the greatest artist this earth has ever seen. As much as we might stand in awe and wonder at what some of our fellow humans can do, they are nothing compared to what God has done. The vastness of space, the beauty of nature, the precision and abilities of our own bodies. What works of man can ever compare to these things? There are, of course, these large and obvious great wonders which the Lord has done, but the great wonders of the Lord can be small and less obvious as well. A word of comfort when we needed it the most, a helping hand when we didn't think we were going to make it through, or indeed giving me turkey and corn when I didn't expect it in the wastelands of Africa. So then, what great wonders can you think of that the Lord has done for you in your life this last year? Verses 10 to 15. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. to him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. God showed his strength to the people of Israel and delivered them from not their enemies, but his enemies. He delivered his people from the enemies who hated him and his word and delivered them into a new land. And the children in Sunday school these past months have been reminded, learning the story of the judges, how time and time again the enemies of the people of God attack and conquered and subjugated the people of God and brought tribulation and difficulties to them. And yet time and time again, the Lord delivered his people from the hands of those enemies. It was true then at the time of the judges, and it's true of the early church, how they fought constantly against the enemies of God, and yet the Lord continually delivered them from those enemies. It was true in the Reformation, and it is true of us today. Satan is mounting his attacks against the church and against the people of God. But we do not need to fear, because we have the whole history of the church to teach us over and over again that the Lord knows how to deliver his people. Indeed, he has delivered us from the devil, the world, and even our own flesh. When we sin, it is the Lord's mercy that delivers us from that sin by showing us that it is sin and that it is not good, by giving us forgiveness of sins through his Son, Jesus Christ. And as we read in our scripture reading, by chastising us because we are his sons, so that we learn how to live holy lives. What then are some of the ways that God has shown his strength to you in the past year to deliver you from his enemies? And I am not talking here about the school bully or someone at work who you feel got his upcomings. That's not the deliverance of the Lord. Those people we should pray for in mercy. I'm talking about delivering us from his enemies. Maybe someone said something that caused us to doubt the word of God, and the Lord showed us the truth in Scripture. Or maybe, as I mentioned before, we were caught in a sin and the Lord led us to repentance. What are some of the ways that we have to thank the Lord for delivering us from his enemies? Verses 16 to 22. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Zion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. The Lord not only delivered the Israelites from the hand of those who oppressed them, but indeed gave them far more, a land flowing with milk and honey. We live in such a favored time and place in history, and we often forget how lucky we are to have freedom to worship and to live in a land as prosperous as the one we have. We forget how our fathers often fought often with words, but often also with sword and blood for the freedoms that we take for granted, for the right to preach and worship the truth of God's word. First against other false religions, but later then also against political ideologies that hated Christianity and sought to destroy it. Fascism and communism are a couple of examples. The Lord not only delivered them, as we talked about in the last section, from these enemies, but He also brought them to a new land and gave to our fathers a land that is truly flowing with milk and honey, where we are free to live and free to worship. What are some of the ways that the Lord has given you even more than you could have ever thought to ask for? Maybe you asked for one thing and the Lord gave you something even greater. Or maybe you didn't even ask, not even realizing you were missing it, and all of a sudden the Lord blessed you in some way. Verses 23 to 26. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for His mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for His mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. The Lord gave all these things even when we deserved nothing. What things can you point to in your life and say, for this reason, God has blessed me, or for this reason, God remembers me? Truly, there is nothing in our lives that would make us worthy of the notice of the Lord our God. And yet, even in our humble and lowly and sinful state, He has looked down from heaven. He has had mercy upon us, and He has blessed us. As the Apostle John reminds us, we have all received grace for grace. The reason the Lord has given us all these blessings is because of His love. What things are there in your life that reminds you that you deserve nothing from the Lord? What things are there in your life that the Lord has given you even though you did not deserve them? Finally, then, we want to finish by writing five final words. And maybe you already wrote them, and maybe you already know what they're going to be. We give thanks to the Lord of mercy because Jesus died for my sins. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. Amen.